Well, let's just talk about the topic today. It's, I guess, reality and life. Oh, we can even say the word sex, can't we? Good morning to you, Robin.
Good morning.
Our segment today, low sex drive in women of all ages and decades, followed by the question, what is wrong? So before we get into that, I ask you how many babies you delivered over the last 30 days.
Well, I just got back from a lovely vacation, so last week was low, but probably 10.
Anybody named Robin or Shelley?
Nobody named Robin or Shelley. It hasn't happened yet. I keep plugging for it, though.
Keep suggesting.
When people aren't sure, I always throw it on their list.
Now I'm going to have a little competition between you and me. It's like, well, push for Shelley.
Who gets
then.
It first? Gets yeah. It first? Of course, I'm just going to put on there Robin. You should call Robin.
Oh, Robin. Well, we appreciate what you do. Yes, bringing new life into the world. But yet, the reality is, I guess I'll say the word frightening, a frightening topic where there is perhaps a loss of sexual desire as one of women's biggest sexual problem.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that, sex is natural, but it's also fraught with a lot of social, religious, personal, ethical constraints and ideas. And so there's a lot that goes into a healthy sexual relationship. And I think that for many women, it can become challenging. Sometimes it's always been challenging, and sometimes it becomes less desirable as time goes on. And there can be a whole variety of reasons for that. And there's some new treatments out there. So I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about it and help people understand that they may not be alone and that there might be something that they could reach out and get some help.
Do you have any numbers of those affected? I mean, no clear statistics, maybe
something? It's hard to find really good statistics. But in my personal experience, I would say between 10 and 50%. Of people complain at some point in their life. And this is not just older women. It can be, it can be younger women. It can be women, especially with young children, where life is crazy and they don't have time to make time in their lives to pleasure themselves or to be engaged with their husband because there's so many, or partner, because so many things are pulling them away. But it can be really a woman of all different ages.
I'm going to get right to that question. Now, many perhaps were a myth to dispel. Does sexual desire decrease as we get older?
Not necessarily. So there is a general trend that desire decreases, and all sorts of myths about when you peak and everything, but it's so much a part of the circumstances of your life and your relationship, who you're with, how happy you are, and then physical issues can play a big role too. So because health issues increase as we get older in general, those things can contribute and decrease your sexual desire, like diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, and sometimes just medications that we take to help those things that can directly affect our sexual desire.
Yes. What, I guess I'll go with, let's jump to the symptoms of low sex drive in women, if you would.
Yeah. So basically, the actual definition of hypoactive sexual desire disorder, or HSDD, is if you have a lack of interest in sex and it causes personal distress. So there might be people that really are not that interested in having a sexual relationship, but it doesn't bother them, and that's not a problem. But if it causes you personal distress, that, gosh, I wish I had more desire, then it's something that's important. And there's a variety of ways that I address that with my patients if they present to me and say that they're having a low activity. And so we talk a little bit about, is it just in the relationship you're in now? Has it always been that way? Are you still able to pleasure yourself and having that be okay? And does it hurt? I mean, really, for a lot of women that I take care of, there's a little bit of pain associated with sex. And so if that happens, our subconscious is so smart, even though we say, no, I really want to have, a great sexual relationship. If it hurts, our subconscious is going to say, nope, you don't want to do that. And so making sure that we address issues like pain that can have a variety of causes, and that can be young women, some women after having children, some women as they're older and they get a little more vaginal atrophy from low estrogen and they get drier. So there can be lots of reasons that contribute.
How much is this mind-body connection important here?
I think it's more important for women than men. I'd love to hear the male perspective on that. But of course, that's what I take care of. I take care of women, and I am a woman. So I think that for women, a healthy sexual relationship and having a healthy sex life involves so much more than just physical pleasure. There is the emotional and the mental and the spiritual element that have to all be important. And so I think for many men, that's not as much the case, but I don't want to disparage men and their emotional connection. But I think a lot of women that I experience, just it's not about the physical, it's about the feeling connected, feeling supported, having emotional connection with somebody that is also important to have in place. And so those things are important to address.
Yes. So once a diagnosis has been made, and obviously consulting with a physician is probably a safe and appropriate area to begin, what are your treatments here?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that identifying the cause, and so making sure that there's no underlying medical conditions that are contributing, sometimes just lifestyle habits. A little bit of alcohol might put you in the mood, but a lot of alcohol can definitely affect your ability to have a healthy relationship. Smoking and other drugs can decrease blood flow. And so it can affect both men and women in that way. Fatigue and exhaustion, you know, we all burn the candle at many ends. And, you know, you and I were just talking about that before we started today. And, you know, caring for young children, caring for aging parents, work stress, education stress, financial stress, all those things can contribute. And making sure that medications aren't contributing. Sometimes a simple change of a medication that you're taking can impact that. Menopause is something that I see a lot. So as women go through menopause and they get older, the tissues in the vagina become thinner and less lubricated. And so addition of some lubricant or even vaginal estrogen or some other products can be really, really helpful and make a big difference.
Is there a therapy, a hormone therapy regime here?
There can be. So using hormone replacement therapy can have an influence in this. And so there's two different ways of looking at that, adding estrogen and testosterone, which is the male type hormone, but we as women also produce it just to lower amounts, and it can definitely affect our sex drive and our sense of well-being. And so talking about whether hormone replacement therapy is appropriate for you, and sometimes not taking it systemically, but just adding it vaginally can make a big difference in how you feel. There is also a very new, just this year, injectable that women can use in the moment to increase sexual drive. And there have been some really good results. So I only have a few people so far that have tried it because it's so new, but I've heard really good things. The studies were pretty compelling. And so if that's something that you're interested in, it's not exactly like the female Viagra, but it's kind of close. And we've been asking for that for decades. You know, Viagra came out for men to help them with sexual function, and women really haven't had the same thing. But now there's this little auto injector, and you just put it on your leg and click, and it can work to help improve your sexual desire. So that's something to talk to your healthcare provider, probably your gynecologist, about.
No sex drive in women of all ages and decades. What is wrong? And I'll, of course, end that with what can be done about it. That's why we talk to you, Dr. Robin Hubbard, with Grand Rapids Women's Health. Let's talk a little bit more about sex education, counseling, when one brings a partner in here, do I trust, needs to be involved?
Yeah. So I think therapy is good for so many reasons, and it can help us with many circumstances and situations, but sex therapy is a big, important thing, and there are therapists in Grand Rapids who are specially trained in sexual therapy, and they can help individuals and couples work through difficulties, and sometimes it's relationship issues, and sometimes it's outside things, but okay, if you have a decreased desire, but once you find that you're together, you feel a strong connection and it's pleasurable, then how can we schedule it or make it seem a little more natural? Or how are you going to commit together to trying to connect more often, given your busy lives? There's a lot of things that can be addressed in therapy that can be quite successful. When I first went to University of Michigan, I spent a little time, I didn't study there, but I spent some time with Dr. Hafner, who is kind of an expert in sexual and vulvar health. And they have a sex therapist right in their clinic. It's just a natural part. If you come in with pain with sex or decreased libido, you see a sex therapist just like you see the doctor. So it can be really important.
Great. Anything else to share?
I think it's a big issue. Don't feel embarrassed to bring it up. Some people feel really comfortable talking about sex and others don't, but it is not something that would ever surprise me as your doctor. And we all deserve to have pleasure and a healthy sexual life, and however that fits into your own personal religious ethical views, it might be different for everybody, but if you feel like you are not happy, you're not satisfied, you're not having what you would like, please reach out. There are many things that we can do to help improve your quality of life.
Resource for us?
Yeah, so there are lots of different resources. Mayo Clinic has some, Harvard has some, and so look online. My first search took me to the Mormon Church, so be selective, because there's a lot of different people that address this, but mostly the medical schools and educational sites have some really great. The North American Menopause Society addresses women after menopause, and this is one of the big issues they talk about. And then just reach out to your gynecologist. So for us, GrandRapidsWomensHealth.com or 616-588-1200.
Great. Thanks for your time, Dr. Robin Hubbard, Grand Rapids Women's Health.